Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Caroline, you should tell them about the newest thing that Bloody Happy Hour is doing.
A Patreon.
It's a Patreon. What is that?
That means you're basically like a VIP member, and there's two different levels that you can, you know, subscribe to, and you get some perks. You maybe get like merch a little earlier. You get
exclusive merch.
You could get first dibs on signing up for a live show. You get episodes with no commercials.
You get our video because our video is no longer available on YouTube. It is only on Patreon. And the most important to me is you get videos of our live shows. So if you are far away and you couldn't make our last live show, it will be on the website. We're going to record this future live show. It's going to be on Patreon, but also bonus episodes each month. You guys tell us all the time you want more episodes. This is a way for you to get more episodes. So you're going to get our basic Tuesday, Thursdays that we always put out, right? But if you're on a Patreon, you're VIP, you're going to get more.
I can't wait to talk about in detail some more stories because I always have a lot of details I want to go to. I can law-splain. I might read a book.
They just unsubscribed. This is also going to be the exclusive place that Dirty Chat is going to go to. So if that is breaking some of your hearts, just go ahead and subscribe now. In order to hear the full content, it's going to be Patreon. Where do they go again?
Patreon.com/bloodyhappyhour.
Don't forget to
stay aware,
stay alive,
and always be DTF.
Hey y'all, I'm April.
And I'm Caroline.
And this is your Bloody Happy Hour. Caroline, are you ready for this?
This is your newest guilty pleasure.
It's the bloodiest part of your week.
Did we say something about it also being happy hour?
Show did.
Because we're about to be sipping on some murder. Bloody happy hour.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hey y'all, this is April.
And this is Caroline.
And what's the show called?
Bloody Happy Hour?
Bloody Happy Hour.
Oh my gosh.
This is Thirsty Thursday. We got a couple of White Claws and we just recorded our quickie. I mean, just joking. We record our quickie on Tuesday. It's Thursday. Yeah. And, you know, I might have gave you a little nugget at the end of our quickie. I ran into somebody at a place.
At a time. She ran into Dirty Chat on my birthday.
Oh. And we had a little conversation and it was cordial. And he told me all the things.
What did he tell you?
He actually took ownership for 90% of why y'all got divorced.
Meaning what? I need specifics.
Oh, that's what he said. All he said was, and I said, oh, did you wish?
How did this come up?
I said, did you wish?
You said, hey, Dirty. Oh, hey.
So my nephew was like playing right there by Hayden.
Uh-huh.
And so he was standing right there. And so I went up there and was like talking to Jace. And then I looked back and I was like, oh, hey, what's going on? And he says, what are you doing? And so he was asking like who my nephew was because my nephew's blonde head, white kid. And he's like, it was his kid. And I was like, it's my nephew. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, there's Hayden over there. And I said, oh, okay. And he says, they come there, this location,
mm-hmm.
where kids go every week.
Day.
And
you know, he's just all about his kid now. He's all about his kid.
Wow, good.
And I said, oh, I said, hey, you didn't text your ex happy birthday? She's celebrating her birthday right now. I couldn't go because I got all these kids. And he goes, oh, no, but I did hear she was just at Chewy's because his first ex, I guess, saw you at Chewy's.
I guess. I do stand out.
And he goes, man, ugh. He was like, I wouldn't text her. She probably wouldn't hear from me because, you know, 90% of all that whole situation was my fault. And I was like, oh, 90?
I'm going to need that. I'm going to need to know the 10.
He's giving you the 10.
I'm going to know the 10. What the hell did I do?
But I wanted him to keep talking, so I didn't want to, like, yeah. Like point fingers at him. And he was just like, you know, he said he got exhausting keeping up with all his lies, that he was like basically relieved like afterwards.
Yeah, as one should be.
And I think he said he had been to rehab a couple times since then.
Hmm.
So that would have been, twice after the one. So I think right after if you know Dirty Chad, right after would it be an overdose?
Yes.
Yeah. Right after the overdose.
It was a few months after that. I know he went to something because.
And then I guess he had to go two other times. And now all he does is microdose shrooms and smoke weed daily.
I mean, apparently he's going
on
trips.
Divorce fucked him up.
did it?
His parents' divorce fucked him up. His mom, so he's still got issues about his dad. So here comes kind of the excuses. His goal in life is not to do that to his son. And so that's why he co-parents with first wife.
Still got bill that keeps coming to my house for old child support. It's up to $30,000.
He's about to go on a cruise. He just got back from Vegas, just him and little Hayden. And they're just going all these trips.
Wow. I mean, if that is even true, then that must be nice.
He showed me skating pictures of Vegas where basically his son skates like Usher did at Super Bowl halftime.
I mean, I'm glad that they can go take trips. Sure, it would be nice to be able to go take a trip and pay for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he said, like, what's she up to? And I was like, oh, she's good. She's with her friends. And I said, but she had to, it took her a long time to recover. I said, she's still not 100% pre-you Caroline. But nothing like she was like right after. And he was like, that's good. That's good. And I was like, have you ever thought about like just making amends or reaching out or something? He goes, this is where the asshole comes out. He goes, no, because frankly, I don't give a shit.
There you go.
I just want to forget it all like it didn't happen.
What an ass.
Yeah.
Like, what an ass. Yeah. See.
So he wanted to act like he ever wanted you to be okay, but not at his expense. Really.
No, yeah. Yeah. I don't give a shit yet. I'm sitting over here talking about it all. But yeah. No. What an interesting.
Yeah. So. And then right after that is when I got into Risa Tisa, and they had so many commonalities, Risa Legion and Risa Tisa. So I was like, Caroline, you need to watch this because what she says will resonate with you. And you'll be like, well, Dirty Chad might have been a walk in the park compared to this guy.
We'll
but not
see.
Really, because her credit, like, he didn't do anything monetary with her. Like, he, and that's why she stayed so long, is he paid all the bills. So all her money just got to be her money. And so she was able to save up a lot of money for when she got to leave. His lies were things you just don't even have to lie about. Like, it was weird.
Mm.
So there's your Dirty Chad.
Update.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe now we're friends. Not really.
I mean, yeah. Might as well.
He didn't totally ignore me like he did last time I saw him. Okay, so the murders, we are going to Farmville, Virginia today. Have you ever heard of the Farmville murders?
No.
Okay, Farmville is the city that this is happening in. And, you know, I stumbled on this on TikTok. And so let's meet some young teenagers.
Okay.
Teenager-ish age. And we're in 2009. And first guy's name is Richard McCroskey the third, and he lived in California. He's 20 years old. He was described as meek and mild. He was bullied in high school. He was very red hair and a little overweight, very passive, very shy. People would bully him and ridicule him, and he never fought back. He never said anything. He was just a meek kid, like that kid that kind of got picked on the playground.
Oh, no.
But he had an online persona.
Oh.
This was back in the MySpace days. Ooh, did you ever have a MySpace?
Yes, Tom from MySpace, my best friend.
So he was also into horrorcore music scene. Have you heard of horrorcore?
Horror or whore?
Horror.
No, I have not.
So it's also called death rap or murder rap or horror hip hop. It's a subgenre of hip hop music, but it's like the snuff porn of porn. So like there's regular rap and hip hop. This is like violence, rape, murder, like the snuff, like bad, like it's the snuff porn.
So it's a snuff porn, but what makes it a...
It's music.
Oh, it's okay.
So I'm comparing, there you got porn and you got snuff porn. The snuff porn's the violent shit. This is like the snuff porn of rap music, I guess.
Weird.
But there's also like heavy metal and stuff in there. So I'd never heard of that, but I heard some of these rappers. Insane, or groups. Insane Clown Posse. You ever heard of them? Grave Diggas, Brother Lynch, Tech N9ne, Eminem had horrorcore music, and so did DMX. So I was like, okay, Eminem.
Tech N9ne, I've heard of that.
Tech N9ne, yeah, he used to be part of a group, but then he went. But remember when Eminem used to be very hardcore and he'd talk about killing Kim and killing his mom, and then he had the Stan song?
Stan, that's so, why it's like, I stand for you, like, don't stand for me. Like,
yeah, so that... It's expressive music, but the people who sing this sing it to get those feelings out, but don't really, they're not violent.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was very into that, and online, his online name was Psycho Sam because he was a big fan of Son of Sam.
Oh, good. Good
and
for him.
His online presence was he was a badass Billy Gunn. He was hardcore.
So he's living this whole other life that he's like afraid to live in real life.
So he's a different person online. He had a lot of friends. He was respected in the community. He was an amateur hardcore rapper. But he was also talented because he did graphic design for a lot of these rappers and then concert photography. So he was in the scene in California. Now, let's meet 16-year-old Emma Niederbrook. She...
I'm a Niederbrook.
She was sweet, and she was smart. She was beautiful. She was also homeschooled.
Was she bubbly?
And bubbly.
Oh, no.
Actually, she wasn't bubbly because she was very, very gothic. She was into the occult. But her family was very religious. So, of course, she did the opposite, right? You're homeschooled. Your family's very religious. She's going to get into goth and the occult and wear black lipstick and dye her hair pink and black and wear, like, the dark eye makeup. Her screen name was Ragdoll. But she also she was kind of diverse because she also played soccer and she listened to NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. So she was more well-rounded. She was into the horrorcore music, but she also liked Backstreet Boys. So, teenager. And then we got Melanie Wells. She lived in Virginia. Emma lived in Virginia. Melanie lives in Virginia. Melanie was also homeschooled, so take your kids to school.
How many? Well, actually, at this point, I don't know what's worse, school or homeschool. I think they're, I don't know. It's a lose-lose.
I don't know. I feel like you need some real socialization and not these online.
Yeah, you do. You really do. Because, I mean, I know when I'm at home, working from home, I'm dying to get to the gym just to talk to people.
Talking to yourself and talking to your dogs.
Yes, yes.
Now, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, and welcome to Bustles and Bangers with your hostess, Rachel and Christopher.
I love it when you say my name.
And you didn't say hi.
I didn't. You just kept going. I'm going to introduce the book. I'm not reading it.
It's
because I don't like reading.
Girls like cowboy butts, you know, and those jeans don't hide anything. Find us on Instagram at Bustles and Bangers or on RogueMediaNetwork.com.
Hey, I'm Blair.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're the host of
By the Cover Podcast.
We cover everything from mysteries, thrillers, romance, chick lit, and even some smut.
Don't forget the smut.
Yeah.
We're so excited to get this thing going and share this with you guys. We've been talking about this for months, and it's finally, finally happening.
Yes.
Special shout out to Rogue Media for helping us with this.
For sure. You can find us on Instagram at @BytheCover_podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook and TikTok, so don't forget to give us a follow on those two also.
We are so excited to dive into some of our favorite books and share those with you.
We can't wait. Hope you love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. She was homeschooled. She was very sweet and kind and also into horrorcore. So these three met in the online group, and they were called the Apostles because they would help the horrorcore rappers. Like, they would share bulletins about their concerts and they would get the word out there about horrorcore.
Okay.
Now, they were friends online for like a year and a half, talking every day. Like, Melanie and Emma become best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho Sam gets a crush on Emma.
Okay.
Okay, the 16-year-olds. And Emma is kind of enticed by Psycho Sam's badassness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're like flirting online and talking online. And a lot of sources said that he referred to her as his girlfriend. Okay? So there's this relationship forming. And about a year and a half after they have gotten this great relationship, they all decide they want to meet in person and attend a horrorcore music festival called Strictly for the Wicked in Michigan. And they're going to attend this together.
Oh, gosh, Michigan.
Why did they choose? Okay, I saw Detroit, Michigan, and I saw Chicago, Illinois. Either way, they live in Virginia and California, so it's far away.
One of them's in California?
The boys from California. Yeah. So the plans are is that they're all going to fly down to Virginia, Farmville, Virginia, where Emma lives. And Emma's mom is going to pick them up, take them to the concerts, and they're going to stay at Emma's house for about a week. Now, Emma's parents are divorced. The dad was a pastor, Presbyterian pastor, and the mom was a criminology professor.
Ooh.
Yes.
Catherine Ramsland, was that the mom?
Probably. Emma was their only child. Now, they're going through a divorce, but they're very...
A lot of red flags.
Co-parenting, like they got along very good.
Okay.
And they hated this horrorcore scene. Like, they hated the fact that she was goth and horrorcore because there is some satanic component to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not
typical. Mm-mm, like,
no.
I think most parents will probably get a little scared.
It's a little off-putting. Yeah, it's a little off-putting.
But they did not want to forbid it from Emma because we all know.
Then that makes you want it more.
Yes. So they actually just all agreed to go to counseling with Emma because they didn't want her to stop doing it. They wanted to find out why this is the
scene. Oh, she had
to
go to counseling because of the music she listened to?
Because,
she was going.
And to figure out, like, why. Because divorce was hard for her.
Right.
And she had gotten into a little bit of trouble, like, when the divorce started happening. So they were just going to counseling to kind of understand what Emma was going to. I thought that was very proactive.
Yeah, that is good.
And it kept them all in a good relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, so they agreed, you know what? These are her friends. She's had them for a year and a half. We want to be a part of this. So the way for us to kind of be a part of it and maybe control it a little bit is if we let them come and stay at our house. And we'll let them go to this weird concert, but we're going to chaperone them.
Yeah. Just be, yes. That's perfect.
I love it. Love it all. So they're coming over for a week. So they go to the airport and they go and pick up Melanie, and they go and pick up Psycho Sam. When Emma, so it's Emma and Sam, they're supposed to be boyfriend and girlfriend. When Emma sees Psycho Sam, he looks like a weak, mild, shy kid. Nothing like the persona he's putting on online. Like, he even trips over his luggage. He just looks totally different.
Yeah.
And he's acting totally different. So she's immediately turned off. Mm. Immediately turned off.
They broke
but not
up.
Rude. No, not rude. I mean, because
like, oh God.
He just flew across the country
she's just
for
like,
her.
Oh, shit, I'm stuck with this dude for a week.
For one
Well, that's
whole
what you
week.
Should have figured out after your online relationship. Did you not FaceTime?
Yeah. Well, I know. It's 2009. There's no damn FaceTime. What? But I'm sure there's video chat on MySpace.
Yes.
I think he got so nervous.
They could Skype.
I think he got so nervous actually being in person that he retreated back to the kid that gets bullied, which is who he is.
Which is who he is.
Bullshitting online.
Yeah.
So this is September 12, 2009. They go to the airport and he feels the rejection immediately. Now, on Psycho Sam's part, these were his friends. These were his people. He don't have any other people. And he felt the rejection from both of them. And it immediately kind of resonated with him. They had to drive 600 miles to this concert, one source told me. So it had to be Michigan. I got Detroit, Michigan. So from Virginia to Detroit, Michigan was 600-ish miles.
Yep.
That's like us going to Florida.
Yeah, it's there to there, that dot to here.
Yeah. So that was an awkward drive, but they get to the concert and the concert is fine. Like they.
Maybe the ride is with like three of them. So it's like maybe they can like he'll like nerves will go down and he'll start becoming his secret persona.
They weren't rude to him at all. It just wasn't what he was expecting. He was probably gonna be like, this is my girlfriend, we're gonna get laid, we're gonna kiss at the concert.
Yeah,
right?
We're gonna hold him. Yeah. Yeah.
She ended up flirting with other people.
Yeah.
And so it didn't make him feel good. Mm-mm. So now they get back, concert's over, they get back to Emma's house, and concert's on the 12th, they're home by the 13th. Everybody's going home on the 16th. So it's a lot of days at somebody's house that you don't know. Now, Melanie, girl number two, the other girl, her parents hadn't heard from her since the night of the concert. And it's the next day. They hadn't heard from her, but they're like, you know, maybe she's having fun. But then a couple more hours go by and another day goes by and they haven't heard from her. So her dad decides to drive 3 hours from West Virginia to Virginia where they live. This is the day she's supposed to go home. So by the 14th, they still haven't heard from her.
They didn't call.
They called. Okay.
And the parents.
So they called and Sam answers the phone and Sam says they're out. Okay. So she's like, oh, okay, I'll call back. Well, then Sam doesn't answer the phone. When Dad shows up at the house, he waits for 7 hours because he knocks on the door and nobody answers. And he knocks and he looks in the blinds and he doesn't see anything. So he's just waiting.
Oh my gosh, he killed the whole family.
Because he's worried about his daughter. They hadn't heard from him. They've been calling. All they've talked to is Sam. So a guy comes from around the house, but he says he's the neighbor. And they said, and then so the dad is like, I'm looking for my daughter, Melanie. She's visiting Emma. Have you seen them? Then the neighbor was like, yeah, they left earlier. They should be back anytime. So that's why he waits there for 7 hours. Never returns. So he drives 3 hours back home. So he drives 3 hours there, waits for 7 hours, drives 3 hours back home.
During the 7 hours, he's finishing up murdering the next person and cleaning up the shit and putting the chlorine and the chlorophyll,
getting rid of everything,
putting it down the drain.
So he's back at home. Melanie's dad is back at home with Melanie's mom.
Without Melanie.
So mom is...
freaking out, I hope.
Really freaking out. So she becomes DTF. She's CIA, FBI, and Homeland Security. So she's calling people in the horrorcore scene. So she's done opened up the computer and looked at the people like in their little group. Okay. She contacts one guy. We'll call him Sick because he's kind of like a main guy. And Sick was like, oh, I saw them at the concert. They all look like they're having fun. I'm sure everything is fine. You don't have to worry. Well, now it's September 17th, and she calls the house phone again because now the phone is dead. Melanie's phone is dead. She calls house phone of Emma's house. Sam answers and says, oh, they went to the movies about 2 hours ago. They ought to be back soon. Call back. 2 hours later, she calls back. He has another excuse. They went out for ice cream. She calls back. Every time she calls, he answers, but she gives him.
I'm going to need you to go get another excuse. Trace the phone. Get the police.
Get the police.
You might need to call a popo.
Or dad. If I was dad, I don't think I ever would have left. I wouldn't have left without knowing more. He drove his butt back home. But then mom's still way 3 hours away, and she's calling, and she's getting the runaround from Sicko Sam. Now, she calls the police. No. Wait. Hold on.
I really gotta get.
Okay. So she can't get a hold of them, so she calls Emma's dad. She doesn't call the police yet. She calls Emma's dad, because remember, they're divorced. And they are... He's on his way home. So he says, okay, I'll stop by there and check on them. She's like, I haven't heard from them. This guy keeps answering the phone and he's giving me the runaround. Can you go please check on them? And he goes, sure, I'll go by there and I'll call you when I'm done, or I'll have them call you. Midnight rolls around and she does not hear from the dad now.
Oh no.
So then she finally calls the police.
Oh, great.
And the police show up and they knock on the door and Psycho Sam answers the door. And
by this time, is he still supposed to be there, or is he supposed to have already left?
Yeah, but everybody was supposed to have left by the 16th. And this was like the 17th midnight. So it's the 18th.
Yeah.
By
so
now.
It's way past the time he should have left.
Yeah, but the police don't know this.
Right. Yeah.
So Sam answers the door. It's after midnight. And he goes, hey, we're doing a welfare check. We're looking for Melanie. And he goes, oh, they're all at the movies.
She just left. Oh, you just missed her.
They've been at the movies for 4 days in a row. They're still at the movies.
They really had a bunch of movies they really wanted to see that just all came out. And then they're so hungry.
And so they says, well, what about Mr. Niederman? The welfare check is looking for also the dad, because the dad was supposed to call her back. And he was like, oh, Mr. Niederman left a long time ago.
I don't know where he is.
But I don't know how you would get a hold of him. I'm pretty sure he's at home.
I'm pretty sure he's in the drain. It's in the fireplace, actually. And his torso is, at least.
Police say, oh, okay, peace out.
Yep, our job here is done.
Thanks for letting us know.
Good talk.
We're going to Dunkin'.
Enjoy the movie.
We'll call.
Yep.
We'll call them. We'll call the mom back and tell her they're at the movies. She's panicking. So they call Melanie's mom back and told her the girls are at the movies.
You know what? This sounds like Home Alone. They're like, okay, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Paranoid on line 3.
Yes.
Oh, so, yeah. It's you again.
The police say they're at the movies and the mom is like, he said that 3 days ago. They're not at the movies. She should have been home. Like, yeah. And so they're like, there's nothing we can do.
Sorry.
She calls the house again, and Sam answers again.
He loves talking
on
the phone.
And he's like, you know what? I don't know where they're at, but they're not here.
They should be home by now.
Yeah, they're not here. You know what? I hear something in the basement. I hear somebody in the basement. I'm real scared. Here's somebody in the basement. She's like, call the police and call me back. If you hear somebody in the basement, why don't you call the police? So he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So then he calls the police.
Oh, good for him.
And the police come back. And he goes, hey, I hear some noises in my basement. Can you please come and look?
In my basement.
Even though this is not my house. So the police come. And they look in the basement. And they don't see anything. Hmm. So they say, oh, you're safe.
Oh, and then he traps them in the basement.
Mm. No, then they go back to Duncan.
Okay. I thought it was like a plan. Like he was going to like close the door and then be like, it puts the lotion on.
Yeah. Nope. So now it's September 18th and it's 3:20 p.m. and Mama Kathleen has been blowing up the police and they go back to the house. But by this time, they don't even get to the front door before they smell the smell.
I knew they were going to smell the smell.
And the neighbor ain't barbecuing. So now they have probable cause to enter the house.
Well, even though they've already entered the house and they've been in the basement. But I guess they didn't smell anything at that point.
No, and even though it's like only hours later.
Yeah.
They enter the house, but Psycho Sam, is gone. But what they do find is 3 dead bodies downstairs in the bedroom. Mm. So they leave because they don't have a warrant yet.
It smells from outside the house. You can smell it.
Yes, because they've been dead for days. And
he left now. Now that he can smell it, he gone.
Yes. And I'm gonna tell you details about that too, because he actually tells us details.
Oh, good.
So 3 dead bodies downstairs and then a 4th body upstairs. So they get a warrant before they do anything else so that all this stuff can be usable. And Emma, Melanie, and Emma's mom were downstairs. They had found a sledgehammer in the home and thought maybe that was a murder weapon. They were not identifiable. You could not tell what was what their face.
They were smashed in and everything.
They were beat to death.
Damn.
The dad's murder was so horrible that the hardwood floors underneath his head and his body were demolished. And there was just blood soaking underneath, like where the floors should have been.
Oh, no. That's a little violent.
Police are starting to investigate. And they go to this MySpace, this horrorcore community, and they talk to Sick, which is the same guy that Melanie's mom talked to. And Psycho Sam had been bragging that he committed some murders.
Oh,
just like his songs
good for
say.
Him.
And they start contacting people. He's bragging about it. And they get pictures of him. And so now they know what he's looking at. And they put all these APBs out, right? Turns out that he was stopped. He killed the dad and stole the dad's car. But he don't know how to drive. So he wrecked it into a ditch. Okay? The police pull over.
That's going to have to
give
go
him
my
a
book.
Ticket. And then have the car towed. And then they call a tow truck. So he hops in the car with the tow truck.
Did they not notice it's registered from somebody else's name?
Oh, yeah. He told him it was his girlfriend's dad's car. Like, he was up front. He was like, it's mm-hmm. my girlfriend's dad's car. They give him a ticket for driving without a license.
Okay.
And they let him go. He ends up at the airport. And at the airport is where he is found after the APB and BOLO and everything has gone. He is sleeping in baggage claim.
When he's real tired. He did a lot of sledgehammering.
A lot. He did not, and he smelled horrible.
Well, but he's not had a shower in
he
days.
He did not shower, and he still had
blood in his fingernails.
Gunk all over him, like flesh.
Oh, he's flesh?
Yes.
What? Why would you not? Well, he's obviously a dirty person anyway.
Oh,
so
he's
like.
It's gotta be.
You've gotta be just gross. That's why you got made fun of and you stunk, and I would have pushed you in a locker too.
Yeah.
A chance.
So he sold dad's car. The cab that took him to the airport said that he smelled so bad that he almost he had to swallow his own. He almost threw up in his mouth multiple times.
Oh my gosh. I had to. Sometimes I'm thankful that I do have a mask laying around from the COVID shit because I have to wear it.
You have a bad gag reflex?
Oh, yeah. 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 So I'm single.
So he was finally found September 19th at 1 a.m. He was sleeping baggage claim. He was charged with murder. Grand theft auto and robbery. Only one count of murder. They didn't want to do all of it at once because they're like, we can tie him to the dad. We're just going to do the dad right now until we have more evidence.
They tied him to dad because of the car. Because of that.
Yeah. So an autopsy was done on the 21st. So they found them on the 18th. Autopsy was done on the 21st. They died from blunt force trauma. The bodies could not be recognized from sight. They were all demolished from what they
Good
thought the murder weapon
God.
Was a sledgehammer, like beat their face in their head.
Like,
in.
That's insane. Overkill.
Now, remember, he's from California, so they do a search warrant at his home in California. Parents are sleeping in the bed. Police knock
on
their door.
They probably don't even know he left.
Yeah, they probably don't. I don't
They're
think
like,
they
Good,
liked him either.
Good. We don't have to worry about this kid.
Nope. Police knock on the door and they barge in and they search. They get his computer. And he was eventually indicted because he was confessing to the murder. He even took videos of the body and uploaded it of him with the body and uploaded it to his MySpace or
Why do people do this? It's like the Snapchat dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is before technology was even like a
big
thing.
Yeah.
He confessed to his lawyer and they pled out because the lawyer was like, you don't want this to go to trial. They will kill you. Like, you will get the death penalty. Your best bet is to plead out, confess.
Well, and sometimes the lawyer can be like, I can't represent you ethically, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you
confess.
I think
it's less ethical for them to say no. Like, you can almost get disbarred for, like, saying
Well,
I
the
quit
only reason
in the middle
I,
of my, this case of this lawyer.
Yeah, the only reason I think that is because with
Sarah Boone.
And her latest attorney that left or whatever was like, it's not irreconcilable differences, but it was just basically like she was trying to get me to say shit that I know is actually not true at all.
Yeah.
Based on at least the video, because there's so much, there's body cam of how she reacted and there's all this stuff. But anyway, so I think it's up to the, yeah.
Well, he was just like, you're not going to go to trial. Let's plead you out.
Yeah.
And so he had two counts of capital murder, two counts of first degree, and he waived his right to an appeal. So he'll never be able to appeal. And he was sentenced to 4 life sentences. Pretty fair.
Yeah.
Then the story he told them is that it was 3 a.m. on 9/15. So they're back home by like the 13th And 3 a.m. he would just basically.
It's the worst time.
It is. That's like the.
It's the devil time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had been drinking. He had been taking pills and he had been smoking weed. And he said that he was just pissed. His target was Emma, but he didn't want to leave any witnesses. So he had to kill Melanie. So he went downstairs and he killed Melanie first. Then he snuck upstairs, killed Deborah. They were all asleep. There were no defensive wounds because they didn't even know what happened. Like the first.
Okay, if I get murdered, that's how I want to be murdered.
Yeah.
I want to be fully asleep.
Not feel
put the
it.
Thing in my face and
just
I'll
do
die
it.
Right there.
So he killed them on the 15th, killed Emma, killed the mama, and then crept into Emma's bedroom. Killed Melanie, killed the mama, crept into Emma's bedroom, and killed her. Then he stayed in the house with the bodies until the 17th when the daddy got there. And then he blindsided the daddy and beat him with the wood-splitting maul, which is basically what you do, the thing that you split wood with, like an axe.
Axe?
Yeah.
What the fuck is a wood-splitting
maul? I think it's like sharper and a little bit. Bigger? Oh, I don't know, but it's not an, it looks like an axe, but it's not an axe. They specified it was a wood splitting maul.
Okay. Well,
and then stole his car's left. So that was his story. His motive was rejection and his target was Emma.
Gosh, his motive was rejection.
They also tied some of his raps. He killed them like he would often rap about.
Oh, so he kind of had fantasies about wanting to do this to people.
Yes.
Yeah. So
he was just waiting
I mean, because
the right
like,
time.
Where did the sledgehammer come from? Did he just search for one in their house or did he have one with him?
He said he found they saw a sledgehammer and they assumed that was the murder weapon, but it was actually the maul, the wood splitting maul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe he used like the flat end to like beat him with and not the pokey end or unless he
both. Because remember,
it's
the
like
floor was
hammer.
All torn up.
It'd be like a hammer.
The other end? No, it's like an axe. It's sharp like an axe.
But so did he axe, like he used that axe part in there when he?
I think that's why they were so
that's
not
true.
Recognizable. He found it in like outside. So I
guess
so
it was there.
Wood.
Yeah. Mall.
And he is now in the Green Rock Correctional Center in Chatham, Virginia. He said that he don't know why he did it, that he wished that he could take it away.
Because
never
he was
really
rejected.
Showed remorse. He was rejected. He was bullied. Blase, blase. But it may make you happy to know that he's still getting ostracized and bullied in prison.
Oh, good. You get finger banged.
So there you go. People, after this, tried to blame the music. It's the music. They need to take
Listen,
away the music.
If you, no, no, and no.
And so
that's
the
like
people
blaming
were like,
guns.
It's like blaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the person because most of the people that's sing
I,
it, that
I would much rather blame
not
drugs. I mean, I can see drugs being a blame versus music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, no.
Yeah.
I listen to all kinds of stuff, and I'm not doing half the stuff I listen to in my music, obviously.
No, it don't even make me want to do it.
I'm definitely not two-stepping, okay?
Two-stepping?
I was just like, country, yeah, I don't really listen to country, but.
People blame the music, so that was a big old argument.
They were
but
trying
it was not
to
the
use
music,
and I think they have to, I don't know, I guess it's different every state. Because Young Thug's trial's happening, which is going to be on trial for about probably the next 4 years, the way it's going. But they were trying to bring up rap lyrics to help convict. But then I think they said they wouldn't allow it. I don't think they allowed it. But, you know, that's Georgia. There's a bunch of shit going on in that courtroom, that Fulton County courtroom. So Rico,
that's it.
Rico, good story.
Farmville murders.
That was good. That was good. That was.
I've never heard of it.
I haven't either. But that was a good one. Love it. Love it.
And
love
a
it.
Quickie. We had it there.
I know. I love it.
Love it. Love it. Okay. that's all I have. And I haven't been inspired lately. So if y'all find a story, send me some. I do have a very long list, but I always ignore the list.
I do too, because typically it's a list of people, of cases that people know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to watch like 18 documentaries and like read maybe no books, but maybe one book. But
there are cases that I like, but I don't want to put the time in to do them. Like they're big cases. And
yeah,
so,
it's like Scott Peterson.
Yeah. So I don't.
But I did Selena, and it wasn't, it didn't, it could have been a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do a good case without every single detail of every single thing. But yeah. So yeah. And if you have a, I like the random ones that are like this one was like completely out of the blue, but it was like engaged. Like it was like interesting.
And there's not a lot of podcasts on there. Like I think I've saw two that I knew about and listened to them and that's it. So
there you go.
Send us a random case. All right. That is it. We will see y'all next week. Anything else going on?
No.
No. Okay. Don't forget to
stay aware.
Stay alive.
And always be DTF.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye.
We're still.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.